grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Jesus is preaching his Beatitudes in our gospel reading this evening, and Jesus turns things upside down. The have-nots become the haves, and peace and justice reigns. These Beatitudes have been interpreted in many ways since Jesus first spoke those words. Martin Luther, in keeping with his personal experience, believed the words of the Beatitudes were meant to show us our sinfulness and therefore drive us to the righteousness of Jesus. On the opposite end of the spectrum, popular belief in modern years has often defined the Beatitudes as a prescription for individual happiness, a guide for life's journey, or just another self-help book. Many a television evangelist have used these teachings of Christ from the Beatitudes as the basis for wonderful books like the Be Happy Attitudes by Robert Schuller and The Secret of Happiness by the good Billy Graham. Please note the sarcasm in my voice. But the context and the content of the Sermon on the Mount, in which the Beatitudes come from, suggests that the teachings of Christ, including these Beatitudes, are less about an individual's personal happiness and more about his or her role as a follower in a newly ordered world. Jesus' words make clear that the path will not be easy. If the followers of Christ are not living their faith, how will the world know its mission and vision then? Only God's love can create and sustain such a community of faith, one that sets the followers of Christ apart from the rest of the world, and one that rewards those things that honor God. The followers of God are called to live in the reality that Christ so teaches in the Beatitudes, and in so doing, we are to be God's tools for reordering this world in which we live. In the words of Jesus' sermon this evening, we heard him begin with these words: "Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God." But then you and I, we all know what being poor means. It means to be without any resources, being helpless, destitute. Trouble is, Jesus didn't just say poor. Matthew's gospel gives us a little insight into what he meant when he said poor in spirit is what Jesus is talking about. He's not talking about being without house or home or food or clothing, anything like that. Instead, he is talking about our standing in the Spirit. There is God Almighty saying, "Dress for action like a man, I will question you, and you will make it known to me," he said to Job. And these people, they've got nothing. In shame, they look down and see that they're still dressed in the filth of their sins. Is it any wonder that God's word says that they will try to hide themselves in caves and among the rocks of the mountains? In Revelation it says, "Calling to the mountains and rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him who is seated on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of their wrath has come, and who can stand?" And you have to understand the really terrifying thing about all of this is that this isn't a nightmare or a daydream gone bad. This is reality, people. How then can Jesus say that such people who are poor in spirit can be blessed? They are blessed because of what Jesus means when he says, "Theirs is the kingdom of heaven." We've learned here in the church, we've learned that the kingdom of heaven is but the mighty acts and the deeds of God himself, performed in and through Jesus Christ, God's only Son. The kingdom of heaven includes the perfect life that Jesus lived in our place. It includes his ministry of preaching and healing. It includes his passive obedience to the suffering and death to the cross. It includes the promise of eternal life that comes in Jesus' resurrection. It includes his presence with us now in the Word and sacraments. It includes his final coming on the last day to raise our bodies and take us body and soul into his eternal presence. When Jesus says, "Theirs is the kingdom of heaven," he is saying that all the resources of the reign of heaven are there for us. We got it. We have heaven. It is ours. Those who have nothing in themselves have everything in Jesus. The reign of heaven belongs to those who are spiritually destitute. It is there for lost sinners. It's what heaven is all about. It is there for you. When the Holy Spirit works faith in us, he shows us that we are spiritually impoverished. And he then bestows the blessings of the reign of heaven upon us. He gives us blessings like forgiveness of our sins, baptism into Christ, the power of the Holy Spirit for faith and obedience, the nourishment we receive in the Lord's Supper, and the fellowship of like-minded brothers and sisters, and so much more. It's all ours. All because we have the reign of heaven in Jesus Christ. Now, sadly, although Jesus blesses everyone with the kingdom of heaven, there are some who will reject it. This world remains a sinful place. Those who have the reign of heaven see this rejection and evil, and it will break our hearts. They mourn over the sin they see in themselves, and they mourn in the sin they see that's taking place all around them. They mourn over the sin, and Jesus said, "Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted." When the day comes that they shall leave this world, Jesus will comfort all their tears and take away all their sorrows. Even as he lives with you now in a way that sometimes just can't comprehend, you will see him face to face and live with him forever in eternity. Those who know that they're poor in spirit cannot help but be sorrowful. They mourn because that's all they see in themselves. They see themselves weeping. They don't set out to seek weeping and crying. But they mourn, for that's all that they ever see. Sorrow, shame, maybe a miserable life. But they mourn. Plus, they mourn, for they know they have sins. They weep, and they cry. This weeping describes them a helpless sinner. Still, Jesus promises you the kingdom of God, and he promises you and I will rule with him on a new earth, a new heaven, all that will be when Jesus comes again and he replaces this sinful world on that wonderful, glorious last day. Those who receive the blessings of the reign of heaven know that Jesus Christ is their righteousness. They know that they are helpless, and only the righteousness given to them by Christ saves them. Once folks have tasted this righteousness of Christ, oh, then they want oh so much more. They always hunger and thirst for more of the righteousness that is Jesus. So our Lord said in the Beatitudes, "Blessed are you who are hungry now, for you shall be satisfied." Here, Jesus promised to satisfy your desire for all that much more righteousness, clear on up through and including eternity. As heavens ring in God's people, they shall be filled with mercy. Christ's mercy works in them and through them. Jesus said, "Blessed are you when people hate you and when they exclude you and revile you and spurn your name as evil on account of the Son of Man. Rejoice in that day and leap for joy, for behold, your reward is great in heaven." The reward in these verses does not come from anything that you or I have ever done. Instead, it is the righteousness of Christ that he has earned for us with his perfect life and his innocent suffering and death. This world hates Jesus, and so it hates those who have his righteousness. Therefore, the world persecutes those who believe. And when this happens, Jesus promises his blessings all the more. The one who reigns in heaven already belongs to believers in such difficult times. It's not our job to go out and earn all these blessings from these Beatitudes. Instead, Jesus is taking all this upon himself to give us these blessings in his love and oh so much more. In order to give us his gifts, he endured our punishment and he carried our shame. You know, shortly we will begin to celebrate once again the wonderful season of Lent, the season of preparation for receiving the benefits of Christ's suffering and death and his resurrection from the dead. The focus during Lent would suggest that the season of Lent serves not only as a time to meditate on the suffering that Christ endured on our behalf, but it's also a wonderful opportunity to reflect upon our own baptism and what it means to live as a child of God. So, of course, these blessings come to us freely by God's grace and not by anything we do in ourselves. Because sin is alive and well in our world, and it's even here in our church, we don't always live up to the ideal that Christ has given us. Even so, our hope remains that our faith will stand out as a contrast to the rest of the society around us. The church is a place where all people will be welcome and come to know God's love, not just those who are popular, the beautiful, or the wealthy. For it is up to each of us, as the body of Christ, you and I, who are alive in this world, to reflect that value of Christ's righteousness to others. The world in its wisdom would look at all of these Beatitudes that Christ preaches about, and they say, "These Beatitudes are nothing more than a symptom of the disease known as Christianity." It's a terrible thought, isn't it? Those who know they are poor in spirit will look at these Beatitudes and see the signs of Jesus Christ and his church. They see the gifts God has already given to us. So you can truly rejoice and be glad, for yes, your reward is great in heaven. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Now may that peace which surpasses all human understanding keep our hearts and minds in the rhythm.